message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
This idea that we've been hashing over for the past 2 weeks, we're actually at the end of our teaching series on Back to the Future. And that's a series that started when Jeanette actually shared the word, from communion through the agape meal to community. Then we start talking about evangelism to discipleship. Then we start talking about a world of faith facing a world of crisis. And I think it's important that we in the body of Christ, as fellow Christians, really start to ask and answer some very important questions. We need to be willing to wrestle with important questions. And one of those big questions, which we talked about last week, is what is the mission of God? What is the mission of God? And I think one thing that I was hopeful to establish, and it certainly came out in our Tuesday, Wednesday home group, was the mission of God extends much wider than John 3:16. Though John 3:16 is a critical part of the message. It's crucial. You can't leave it out. But the mission of God is bigger than John 3:16. In fact, I would go as far as to say the following. The very idea of the mission of God remains the most important truth in the Judeo-Christian story. And it is the best truth for all of creation. Now, the way I answered that question last week, what is the mission of God, is after we debated and we discussed it, I came to one word that I gave us. Recapitulate. That one word to explain the mission of God. St. Paul talks about that when he writes the church at Ephesus, and he says that through Jesus, he will bring all things on heaven and earth under one head. And that's synonymous with John when he wrote, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus restores the entire creation. Recapitulate. This theme of recapitulate is a theme that appears and reappears throughout the entire tapestry of God's Word in the Bible. And what it really comes down to is that God is on a rescue mission to bring all things through Jesus back to Himself. And whether people have fallen, whether creation exists under a curse, the reality is this: everything is risked and everything is being confronted with a startling reality. Him. Him. He's the reality that we're all being faced with. All things are going to come to Him. Remember, St. Paul writes again, and the church, to the church at Philippi, in chapter 2, verse 11, every tongue will confess Jesus, the Christ, is Lord. Now, how about this one? Paul writing to the church at Colossae and Colossians 1:20. Through Jesus to reconcile to Himself all things. You know, whenever I hear the word confrontation, I don't like it. How many people here like confrontation? Yeah, no, we don't like it. It's a word that actually kind of sends shivers, because whenever we've been confronted, it's never gone well, whether we've been the one confronting or being confronted. But here's something for you guys. Jesus loves confrontation. And it's not a bad thing. In fact, Jesus went as far, here you go, ready? Jesus went as far as to say, confrontation through Jesus is good news. It is the good news, right? I have come, Mark, I have come. Kingdom is upon you. Repent and believe the good news. I don't know of anything more confrontational than that. The kingdom's in front of you. Repent. Now here's the good news. You see, Jesus is a God of confrontation. I love that. Because when he says he has good news, it is the only message of hope. In fact, it has been the good news that has been the foundation of all of our systematic theologies, all of our worshiping traditions, all of our praise, all of our prayer, all of our creeds, all of our works have been built on the good news that Jesus is here and among us and is here to reconcile all things through him back to himself. Now, I also want to say this to be very clear. We also are believing the good news because we have expectation, right? As much as we may enjoy this world or not enjoy this world, we certainly know there is something more coming than this world. So we have expectation. And that's why we, as a fellowship, are called Maranatha. Come, Lord, come. Come, Lord. Get in on this. Change this. Revive this. And if nothing else, Lord, please return. Come and reconcile all things. You see, we are called to a life of repentance, and we need to recognize that the kingdom of God has burst in. And it has burst into our lives through the Son. But here we go again. Why? Why has the kingdom burst in? And why does it come through the Son? It comes back to the mission of God, to redeem all things through him back into himself. And that's an exclusive mission. And that's an exclusive messenger. Notice what Jesus doesn't say. I'm going to redeem all things through other things, through other ways. No, all things through me to the Father. But it comes through me. It's an exclusive message. And so I began to think about our last teaching on Back to the Future, especially as we come up to the approach of Easter. And I'm thinking to myself about this message, and I started to ask myself the hard question that we're going to wrestle with today about the church. The church. And in fact, that's actually today's message. If you were writing it down and taking notes, the message of today's sermon is the story of the mission of God as spoken through, now listen, his church. Not the church, his church. I'm going to use some intentional wording here that we need to make sure we grab full care of. Now, I want to kind of bring us somewhere here. If Jesus is your Lord, show of hands. If you would profess that Jesus is your Lord, put your hand up. I'm just curious where at. If Jesus is your Lord, if he is your Savior, then you individually, yes, okay, then you individually have a story worth sharing, right? You have a story worth sharing about what Jesus is doing in your life. Okay. And if we as individuals have a story worth sharing, imagine what happens when we come together as a family, as a body in Christ to express what? His story. Not our story, his story. See, when you share what Jesus is doing in your life, you're not sharing just your story. You're saying, his story came into my life, and now my story is his story. Now, when we all come together, we say, our story is his story. You see, this forever takes us out of the equation of him. We're important to God. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to put anyone down here. But we are important to God. Humanity is something that God is very, very careful and loving. But the story of humanity's rescue is him, not us. This is why none of us could have gone on a cross and done what he could only do. Even if you wanted to. Your best of intentions wouldn't have satisfied the spiritual and legal debt that was levied against man's fallen nature. That's a whole other message that I'll cover next week. Beyond the us is we, the body of Christ. And we have a story to share with this world. It is a story of a lasting truth, a hope, and a happiness. And I would like to assert today that the church, his church, is the final piece to our Back to the Future series that we need to contemplate, we need to re-examine, and we need to ask some very serious questions of. Certainly, there are those within the faith of Jesus as the Messiah who have a story of their own that he's told, but something happens in the church when we gather together. In fact, Paul calls it a mystery. Look with me now, Ephesians chapter 3. If you're there, you can look in your Bible. If not, I will read it to you anyway. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Ready? Verse 7. Of this gospel. Who is gospel? Paul's? No. Jesus. The mission of God. The missio Dei. The rescue mission. The good news. Okay? Paul. Of this gospel, I was made a minister, according to the gift of grace of God given to me by effectual working of His power. The grace is given to me, who I am least of all the saints, to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Jesus to the nations, and bring light, and bring to light what is the, here it is, fellowship of the mystery from which eternity has been hidden in God who created all things in Jesus. So that now the rulers and powers and heavenlies know by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now listen, when we come together and we start telling His story, the manifold wisdom of God is going out into this world, and it is saying to the powers and principalities, those who hate God, those who are inquiring about God, those who are looking for God, it is saying the wisdom of God is in that house where His Spirit dwells, where they proclaim His story of a good news for your rescue. This is why we gather together. It's not so we socialize, though we do socialize. It's not even so that we worship, though we should worship. And not so you can hear some guy talk, though I'm the one talking. It's so we come together, and here it is. Paul uses that word mystery. In Greek, it's mysterion. Mysterion. There's something supernatural that happens. That's the best way to hit mystery. Supernatural that happens when we all come together and share His story. Now, this is going to make us think about something of where our church is at now and where it needs to be. Because some will debate the role of the church. Some will ask about its limits, its structure. And the truth is, the church today can be bogged down in politics, and it can lose sight of its purpose, of why we even gather as a church in the first place. Now, here is where I'm going to be very intentional. Please listen to what I'm saying. The church, here's the big word, biblically. Not historically. The church, biblically. That's the big one. The church, biblically. This is the goal. Because the church, biblically, is the church that speaks about one person and one of the person. Jesus. What's the agenda? The rescue mission. Now, the church historically hasn't done that. But the church, biblically, as God has said, this is why you gather, tell the story about me. And how I'm going to rescue everything. That's our goal. Now, let's go on a little bit further here. The church is not some man-made institution, although some can point to what the church has been made by man. And I would even argue that the church today, in large part, has drifted from its biblical moorings. And while I accept that there are many people who have an anti-church bias, perhaps they've come to that conclusion from offense, hurt, or just ignorance. But let me tell you something. If there is someone who is targeting, quote, the church, they are targeting the wrong enemy. Because by choosing to live in your life outside the community of faith, you live separated from what the Spirit of God has tried to birth in a corporate body to share His story. And here it is. You start living in a subtle rebellion against Him. While you think you have an axe to grind against that pastor or that local church that you left. I'm gonna substantiate this all in Scripture, by the way. Just follow with me. Yes, I would agree. There have been churches that have drifted from their biblical moorings. No doubt about it. There have been pastors who no longer preach the full counsel of the Word of God. No doubt about it. But not every church. And not every pastor. Right? So that being said, let's go back to what's important. Those churches, those communities of faith that keep Jesus as the center, keep the Word of God the center, and have the full Word of God remaining on this earth, I will argue this point. And you may disagree with me, and you can. But God has always been looking for a vehicle to share the mission. And I would argue today that the church remains one of the last rescue vehicles available in which the Holy Spirit can, if given the opportunity, can move through to proclaim the mission, rescue mission of God, proclaim the biblical Jesus, and give hope to a dying world. That can be the biblical church today. Now that's where I would argue. I love war movies. I like them. And I like watching war documentaries. I like watching special forces stuff, right? You know, Navy SEALs doing this and Green Berets doing that. And no matter how well trained those men are, no matter how, I mean, you know, these are the kind of guys that could kill you without even having anything. No matter how well trained they are, if they're sent on a mission, that mission can only succeed based on support and logistics. That's why there's intelligence, there's aircraft, there's weapons, there's equipment, there's satellites, there's planes, there's vehicles, there's all different kinds of things to make sure that mission works. It's never just, oh, just drop the guy there and see what happens. Careful planning goes into every bit of it. And a successful mission is the one where they all come out alive having completed their objective. An unsuccessful mission is when something breaks down. Someone fails. Something wasn't done correct. And I would argue that the church is that vehicle today. It is one of the vehicles, but it's an important vehicle today that God is wanting to send out rescue missions. So think of yourself as Navy SEALs. I'm serious. You're being trained. You're being trained. And hopefully this body of Christ is going to also become a very effective vehicle for you to reach out. Okay, let's continue though. Okay? Galatians 4. Now, let's look at Galatians 4. We're going to turn there. Galatians 4, verse 4. And while you're turning there, I want to preface something. Okay? This verse, these verses that we're going to look at, they need to be looked at in three different ways. The first way, which we will not look at, but I don't want you to feel like I'm ignoring it, okay? The first way is Paul is having a discussion between the law. Okay, he's talking about the law, but we're not going to talk about the law for this purpose of this message. So, but I'm not ignoring that. The second is Paul contextually is speaking to a church in the Galatian province. Believers in the Messiah, but they're living as they are Greek believers. They're not Jewish believers, they're Greek believers. So we got to get a little history there. But the third reason why I want to look at this scripture, because we're talking about the church, and we're talking about the church being the message for the mission of God today. I'm going to place in this scripture a contextual background that hopefully supports the fact that the church is not birthed by man, but birthed by the Spirit. And that's why the church is so important. Okay? Look at with me, Galatians chapter 4. Okay, here we go. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, coming into being out of a woman, having come under law, that He might redeem under law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And that if a son, also an heir of God through Christ. Now, a lot there, as I said. But what I want to focus on is what Paul gives us as a chain of command. Chain of command there? God sent the Son, right? The Son came as the rescue mission. Retrieve you. And then He retrieved you. You were slaves. You were caught in bondage. You were needing rescuing. And so then He sent, the Son sent. And then when the Spirit got into your life, the Holy Spirit is who we're talking about, had to respond. And when you responded, yes, to the rescue, He says, I'm bringing you into My family by adoption. You're not equivalent to Jesus. You're not equivalent to the Holy Spirit. But you were once a slave, and you were in prison, and you were in bondage, and you needed rescuing. And God sent the Son, and the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit went, boom, into your life. And you said, oh yes, I want Him. And He said, I'm rescuing you, and I'm bringing you into My kingdom. Ah, but wait a second now. How does this all relate to the church? Here's my question I want to ask you. If you are, as Paul says, a joint heir to the kingdom, what is the kingdom? And how is the kingdom manifest on this earth? If I asked you, how is the kingdom God manifest on this earth today? What would you say? Through you. You're the church. Individually. And then we become the church corporately. So if God sent the Son, and the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit got into your life and rescued you, and now you're an inheritor and a joint heir to the kingdom, you have ownership and responsibility in the kingdom. To do what with the kingdom? Live off the interest? Just wait for the time when you get to rewards at the end of your, so you can get the will? You know, like those terrible things, just waiting for someone to die so you can get your little slice of the pie. No! The kingdom is now, Jesus said. The kingdom is among you now. What does this all mean? If you're a joint heir of the kingdom, and the kingdom is right now on this earth, and you have to carry the message, here's what I'm going to say. How do we make the kingdom manifest on this earth? How do you preach the word? How do you gather as a community? How do you live as disciples? How do you hold one another accountable to his standard of righteousness? Answer, the church. That's how you hold each other accountable. When I'm off track, someone has to hold me accountable. Who? Some random person? No. My family member, joint heir in the kingdom that God has sent by the Spirit, through the Son, by order from the Father. Amen. Here's the point, guys. The church was not birthed by man. It was birthed by the Spirit of God. And thank you, Jesus, that the Spirit was sent by the Son. And here's the whole point of chain of command. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So what should the church be trying to do with people? Point people back to His story. Reconnect people with His Spirit. Learn about the real Jesus. Be connected back to the real Father. That's the message of the biblical church. Not historical, but biblical. Amen. Okay, so here's what I'm saying. The church is not a building. Look it. The church itself is a spirit birth institution. So when someone says, I'm against church, be careful. You may be against something that's heretical or blasphemous. Amen. If it's against God's word, I'm against God being preached that way. Because the Bible supports that. But be careful saying, I'm anti-church. You might be saying, I'm anti-Holy Spirit. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's the church. I'm not saying the church is the Holy Spirit. I'm saying the Holy Spirit birthed the church. And if He birthed it, it was a good thing He birthed. Even though we may have gotten there and messed it up. It's a good thing He birthed. So, you need to be led by the Spirit where you need to be going to a church that's sharing His story. Right? Don't sit in a dead church where his story's not being told, but be in a place that's being alive. Okay, I'm getting off track. Let me bring it to this point. Here we go. How do you share a message of worship? Look at, Rob is out here worshiping today. Does this world know what worship is? No. Truth is, if 40 people from this world who had no idea Jesus came in there, they would be shocked to know that we as 40 believers had hands raised singing songs to Jesus. They'd have no idea what that means, but they would see something different. They would have seen worship. Okay? How about prayer? Interesting, isn't it? How about discipleship, evangelism? How about witnessing to a lost world without Jesus? How about the fact that the church should be the place that brings people the only hope for the hopeless, the only purpose for the purposeless, and safety for those who are afraid? Yeah. Look at, the church is not a building. Right. It's not a denomination. It's not even a group of well-intentioned, resourceful people. No. The church is a gathering place that boldly asserts that Jesus is the central piece of our community, and we are maintained as a family being nurtured and birthed by His Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit gets kicked out of the church, we are in big trouble. Because He is the one who birthed it, and He is the one who will nurture it. And if we lose the Holy Spirit, we will lose track of Jesus. And that's what's happened today. We have a lot of Jesus is being preached, but not under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that's why our churches have drifted off their biblical moorings. The community of faith, or the church, is the natural way in which we will live as a family of God on this earth, and how we will help one another, how we will grow, how we'll connect with the Father, how we connect with the Son, how we connect with the Spirit. The church is supposed to be evangelizing the story or the mission of God. It's supposed to be connecting people back into this song we love to sing, Amazing Grace. We all know it. The world knows the song. Let's sing it together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
You know why that song is so powerful? It's a rescue mission song. You were blind, you now see. You were lost, you were found. You didn't have any grace coming your way, and you had amazing grace, and it was the best thing you ever heard. The church needs to be echoing the amazing grace.
Amen, amen, amen.
If the Spirit of God is present in our church, then I will tell you this. There will be a dynamic power of the Holy Spirit that should bring every single one of us into closer fellowship with one another, but also that should be marked by more intimacy with the Father. Your life should be more intimate with God. This is how we are called to form into a community of faith. We're not just called to be a group of activity, but we're to be changing lives, changing hearts, and recapturing people back to the heart of the Father. We're trying to go behind enemy lines. You're Navy SEALs. There are people trapped on the other end. And your orders are, get into a community and go out there and get them out of bondage. Tell them there's a mission plan. Hey, Jesus is here for you. I want to stay in prison. Hey, next cell. Hey, Jesus is here for you. Save me. The world is desperately in search of being rescued. God is, I'm not saying desperate, and I can say God's desperate, but God has always been desperate for places where he can dwell in a whole night. He's always wanted a place where he can come down in his spirit. Whether it be the tabernacle in the wilderness, or it be in Solomon's temple, his spirit came down, and when it did, the people knew. God is with us. Emmanuel. God is with us. That's what the angels said at the birth of Jesus. Sadly, many congregations will gather void of the Holy Spirit. They are empty of the supernatural conviction. They have replaced a culture of him for a culture of them. They have ginned up spectacles and entertainment, and they call it worship. Pastors teach a good news of health, wealth, and happiness, but they do not teach the good news of the kingdom, repentance, and life lived in the new humanity of Jesus. We have become, in the church today, byproducts of the world we are largely influenced by, and we are a church that is fed by individualism and consumerism, as which I have said before are two of the three poisons that will always kill a church. If the church, listen, this is going to be hard, but just listen to me, please. If the church will settle for numbers but have no converts, if the church will settle for converts but have no disciples, then I dare say we will have built a church that is a relativistic lifestyle and not an exclusive living with God. Daryl Harris, the chaplain for the Institute of Worship Studies, says, and I quote, "Pray for the Holy Spirit to do a ruinous work among us." And to that I say, amen. Just what if the reason our culture, our society, our families, our communities, or even our churches are remaining largely unaffected and ineffective because the church has become a club, a business-driven model of today's church void of his Holy Spirit, saying to the Holy Spirit, you are not allowed to do a ruinous work among us. And I would say, I would pray every single one of us at Maranatha would have our language on a Sunday, on a Tuesday, and on a Wednesday. Holy Spirit, come in and wreak havoc in my life. And if something doesn't match up with your word, tear it up, demo it, and rebuild me in your likeness. So the only solution for the church today is to reset the church as to what it was in the beginning. It was birthed to speak the mission of God. This can only be done. This can only be done. Listen, I'm not a church builder, right? I'm not. If I was a church builder, then I would have had some really slick ideas of how to make 5,000 people just do this, okay? I'm not a church builder, but I can tell you what the Word of God says. And that's why I, as Jeanette said, we're building a family of God. Okay, now listen. We will be the most powerful church in Franklin, Tennessee, and I would even dare say in this world, if we never lose sight of this one thing. Our position as a family is to have Jesus Christ as the biblical Jesus remain at the center of who we are, and to invite His Holy Spirit to have His way in every part of our life.
Amen.
If we will stay focused on that, you will never lose sight of who Jesus is, was, and is coming back to be. You will never lose sight of the heart of the Father. And you will never go through stages of your life where you are dull to the hearing of the Spirit. We need to be bold enough to have a Christological presupposition. That's a real fancy word for me to say. Jesus as the center. Like that, Christological presupposition. Start with Jesus at the beginning. Furthermore, if we are genuinely a Jesus-centered church, and here's what I want to touch on worship for just one more minute. We will be a worshiping church. Our worship must, listen, please listen. Our worship must go upward before it can ever go outward.
Amen.
If you're not here with the Father and you're out here with the people, your spirit is in charge, not His spirit. Before you can ever step outward to the world, you need to be taking your lead from where He's telling you to step. Our church needs to have worshipers where the inward work of who you really are is being shaped and reshaped by the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, if you're a worshiper, and I'm learning this, I'm not there yet, so I'm confessing to you, I'm learning this, but I've seen it and I've witnessed it and I've read it by accounts. If you're a worshiper, the you gets removed out of the way and Him takes priority in your life. Oh, I'm afraid what people say if I raise my hands. That's a you problem. That's it. I'm afraid what's going to happen if they see me kneel before the Lord during that song that I feel the Holy Spirit is telling me, kneel and worship me. That's a you problem.
Amen.
That's the Father through the Son who's in your heart already and through the Spirit saying, Joshua, kneel. That's a you problem. That's a pride issue. It could be a lot of things. It's a fear of man issue. It's a pride issue. It could be a ton of different things. Get you out of the way. Become a worshiper.
Amen.
Become a worshiper. Okay, last thing. Worship breaks the cycle. Worship breaks the cycle of individualism, consumerism, and isolationism. Worship creates in us a people who will ask the right kind of questions, and we are looking for the right answers for victory over sin. Worship teaches us to connect our past to our future. It teaches us to understand His story. And what's His story? His story is back at the beginning, to bring everything into the marvelous understanding of His life. That's where the story started, in the beginning God, and it was God. Jeanette started this year with communion and the agape meal. She used this phrase, to live is to worship is to live. I continued that theme by challenging us to believe, behave, and belong to the central reality as Jesus as Lord. And today, at the conclusion of this series, we are once again being asked to strongly consider that if He is why we are gathered to hear, then it is He who dictates how we are to live the mission of God in the ordinary of life. We don't dictate it. He dictates it. The final question I ask, what will we do with the challenge of evangelism and discipleship? What will we do with communion and love in the community of faith? Will we share the story that's worth sharing as the church? Will we thrive as a community that keeps Jesus as the center? Will we allow the Holy Spirit and expect Him to do a ruinous work in our lives? If the answer is yes, then we have the bold promise through God's Word that He will be with us. And in the season of His choosing, He will say to us, Maranatha, extend your tent pegs. Stretch out further. I'm with you. But now go. And that's the next step we'll have to take. But we can't take that step unless we are spiritually ready. Spiritually ready. It'd be wonderful for me to say that however many cards are in there is going to translate to that many visitors on Easter. But before one card ever hits a door, every single one of us needs to have prayed over those cards and said, Lord, let that message reach the heart of at least one person to get rescued back to your plan. One. Just one. That should be all of our prayers. Whether you hang a door hanger or don't hang a door hanger. All of our prayers. And so this is just one thing, right? But it's worship. It's praise. It's prayer. That's why the church is so important. The church should be telling the mission of God. Lord, we thank you for walking us through this. We thank you, Lord, for just helping us through this. We need to understand, Lord, what you're doing at this time in our life. And Lord, it is a great opportunity that we're gathered here. And Lord, we love every single person in this room. We have a connection with them. We know them. We know some of their story. We know some of where they're at. We're learning some more about them as we walk with them through this walk. Lord, we need.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnian was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.